Today on Real Life Radio.
Do you remember picking up the Bible and it's like, what do people do with this thing? It made no sense. And then at some time, which God in his sovereignty knew of, the key was turned, the lock was opened, and you picked it up and it comforted your soul in an instant. And everything made sense as you began to read it. And not only that, it began to jump off the page at you. And it began to answer your life's questions.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Theology and Me, Part 5. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives these days? You see, theology is the study of God. And the remarkable truth about God is that He comes to us through His Spirit. He is a personal God who wants to give us a life worth living, to stir us up, and to move us away from the desires of our flesh and towards the amazing life of walking in the Spirit. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that unlocks the principles and the truths of the Bible. This is why the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit is needed like never before in our lives, to live and move and to have our whole being found only in Him. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
It would be wrong for us tonight to talk about and have made our way to this point and neglect the punchline, really, to whatever this is, this world in which we live in, where everyone in the world, educated or not, civilized or not, from Manhattan to the jungles of South America, man has in his soul the concept, logic, desire, and drive for theology. Man will create gods. If a god is not speaking to him, he'll invent gods. It's amazing. And that's one of the strong convictions of argumentation that we have, as the Bible declares, just boldly declares, that we have been created in the image of God. And one of the things about that is that there is a, you know, I know it sounds corny, but it's absolutely true. We've heard this for decades, but it's true. That every human being has a God-shaped hole in his life. We make fun of that little saying because it's so simplistic, but it's absolutely true. So when we talk about theology and me, we're talking about what does the Bible say and how does this revelation of God in theology from the Bible relate to my life? And so the biblical doctrine, if you would, in taking notes, the biblical doctrine of what is known as incarnation, or that is the fact that God would become flesh and dwell among us. The incarnation is that doctrine. That the Spirit of God would communicate, listen now, to us. The Spirit of God would communicate to us in the Word of God that what God would do is come to us. The Old Testament prophecies spoke to us about God coming to us and revealing himself. This is what causes Christianity to be out and beyond all other faith claim or faith groups. Think of it. It transcends Islam. It transcends Judaism. It transcends all of the world religions because it is the only faith that understands that we cannot do anything to earn our God's love or to earn our God's acceptance or to earn entrance into his presence. Listen, what God has revealed to us is that there's nothing you can do that will qualify you to get into his audience. Every other faith group has got a plan. Christianity is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. You need to know that. It's not being a Methodist. It's not being a Calvary Chapel. It's not being a Lutheran. It's not being a Baptist. It's being a follower of Christ. And this is key. Again, you know, it sounds so simplistic. Listen, God is into simplistic when he knows that we can't handle much. It's got to be simple. This is the only message that God has given to mankind, that it's profound for a theologian or a scientist to argue with and wind up being won over by it. And it's as simple as a child easily accepting it. It's remarkable. But for that all to be true, the doctrine of incarnation had to happen. And if you're a follower of Christ tonight, you're on the right road. You're on that narrow path. Jesus said, few people are on it. And few people enter into glory, into eternity. Because you are embracing what God has revealed, that salvation is not wrapped up in any committee, in any movement, or any denomination, or any religion. It is literally and only experienced by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the driving point to our time together tonight. That's only possible by the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit doctrine from the Bible in your life, then tonight's your night. Because there is no way for you to understand the Bible. Oh, listen, man, I tell you what, I'm remembering right now in my head when I first opened up a Bible when I was a teenager, and I opened it up because of curiosity. I read it for a few moments and put it down and thought it was nuts. Wow. You want to know why? Because God wasn't speaking into my life at that time. God wasn't calling me for whatever reason at that time. This book was as though it were blank pages. Do you remember picking up the Bible and it's like, what do people do with this thing? It made no sense. And then at some time, which God in his sovereignty knew of, the key was turned, the lock was opened, and you picked it up and it comforted your soul in an instant. And everything made sense as you began to read it. And not only that, it began to jump off the page at you. And it began to answer your life's questions. It began to speak to you. And as you read it more, it began to answer issues before they arrived. You had the answer. You didn't know it. You went off to work that day, or you went off to do whatever you did, or maybe 3 or 4 days later, you encountered something. And then the verse that you read a few days earlier comes right into the moment. And you go, oh my goodness, I know exactly what to do. Wow. The remarkable power of the Holy Spirit unlocking the Word. Theology is the study of God. Obviously, we've been looking at that. But listen, it is God the Holy Spirit that makes it possible. Just by way of foundation on this, John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1, we love this. And we'll read a few verses beyond that. In the beginning was the Word. Listen carefully now. And the Word was with God. Okay. And the Word was God. That'll keep you up all night thinking about that one. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, whoever the Word is, he's God. And whoever the Word is, he's the creator. There's nothing that's been created but by the Word. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's key. Dwelt. Tabernacled. Lived. Among us. And we beheld his glory, John said. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that same author, John, writes in 1 John chapter 1. There's a remarkable similarity, by the way. It's the same man, but it's a different book. 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, listen, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about seeing Jesus face to face. That's what that means. He's talking about watching Jesus walk. He's talking about watching Jesus eat. Can you imagine? What did Jesus, how did he eat? Did he wipe his face this way? Did he go this way? Can you imagine? What if Jesus, and you knew it was Jesus, and you were sitting at a table, or you watched him walk by in your village, and you knew it was him? You'd be watching. All eyes fixed upon him. But John says, he goes on and says, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. John is saying, I touched him. Did you get a picture of some? Did you get a picture? Oh, we saw a movie star. Did you get a picture of them? John would say, listen, I not only saw him, I touched him. You know when someone, when you're like shaking someone's hand, oh, you shook that person's hand. Oh, you shook his hand? You shook her hand? The Queen of England? Yes, and I'll never wash this hand again. You know that saying? Imagine John is saying, I'm telling you guys something. You can choose to believe me or not, but I saw him, walked with him, touched him. In fact, John's the guy, I'll give you the, John's the disciple who, when they were leaning to eat, they ate like this on a reclined, on a low 18-inch table. That's how they ate. John whose head would have been resting on Jesus's shoulder or chest. Is it possible that John could have leaned over and just maybe felt Jesus breathing, the expansion, contraction and expansion of his lungs, his shoulders moving? Or did he maybe hear or feel a pulse so close? I touched him, John could say. Absolutely awesome. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's awesome, because that argument declares that the Word is named Jesus Christ. That's who he is. So church, we'll look at this tonight, theology and me, how it all works. We're kind of bringing it together and trying to put a bow on it right now. Chapter 17 of Acts, verse 28, we read it a moment ago. For in him we live. Technically, we would say it this way. Watch me. It's going to be a little bit of a variant from verse 28. So, for in him we live, you would say, and in him we move, and you would say, and in him we have our being. It's all in him. That God is the great animator of life. It's awesome. So if you're a student of the Bible, wait a minute. If you're a student of the Bible, you better be a student of the Bible. Get out your notes or write down in your margins. In Acts 17, 28, the word live is zoe. Live. And it means this. To live, to be alive, to be aware of life. You say, well, that's silly. No, it's not. There's a lot of people today that are living. They got a pulse, but they're not aware of life, are they? Think of it. It means to get a living. I'm not kidding you. If you go research this, you're going to come to some old scholar, some Greek scholar that writes down it's to get a living. Have you ever heard somebody say, get a life? That's this word. He is the one that gets you a life. That's what God's word promises you. It means to, there's no other way to say it in English. It doesn't work, but here it is. It means to get lived. What? Yeah, it means to be living a life in such a way that your life, having been lived, is a life that was worth it in God. It means to come into a life that is worthy of life itself. You think about the intricacy of life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you he made alive. First of all, how many of you are followers of Jesus? Raise your hands. Okay, keep your hands up. Watch this. And you he made alive, says the Bible. You can put your hands down. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wow. Remember that? We were all dead in trespasses and sins. All of us were dead. I told you guys before, and I love it. Christians, if we are blind about anything, you know how people say, well, I could never become a Christian. Take a blind leap of faith. I don't know where you got that from. Our faith is founded upon facts, man. But we are blind. I got to tell you, we are blind. We are blind to this. We are blind about the past of one another. Listen, any Christian friend that's worth their weight to hang around with, if any of them, listen, the moment you bring up your past, your Christian friend will say, stop! Under the blood, at the cross, that's not you anymore. Stop talking like that. Let's get up and move forward because Jesus paid for all that stuff. Your mind is going to a bad place and that's not you. That's a good friend. They grab you by the face and they turn you around and they pull you in the right direction. Don't go down that road. I remember, you know, I don't know if God's ever forgiven me back in 62. Stop. Now, he made you alive. You say, how do I know I'm alive? Because listen, the Holy Spirit has driven you to Christ. If you had anyone to pick and choose to shake their hand or to watch them walk by, you would pick Jesus. That's the beat of your heart. You want to see him. And John said, I saw him. And that's native to the Holy Spirit's work in the life of a believer. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says the same. And you being dead in your trespasses, that means sin. Remember how you and I used to live for sin? No? Yes. All of you? Yes. You just did it. You were programmed in a sense to do that. It was natural to you. You just did it. But all the time you had that voice in your head. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't be doing this. But the Bible tells us that we were dead. We were spiritually dead to God. But he says, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Isn't that amazing? Think of that picture. A heart that is so calloused and hardened that it can't feel. He has made alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. God does that. He makes you alive. So listen, in him we live. That means that God is the very source and the very power and the very energy and the very life-giving lover of your soul, that when you come to Jesus, it is by his Holy Spirit that he makes you alive. God does that. The Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you tonight to get more familiar with God the Holy Spirit. Because, by the way, he's the one running the show in your life if you're a follower of Christ. He really is, if you think about it. We have pictures or images in our mind of the Father. We can relate to Jesus, but we think of the Holy Spirit like, what is that? And yet he's the one that's been with you the whole time. Think of it. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit's the one. Everything that you know about relating to God has been by the Holy Spirit. A lot of people make fun of him. A lot of people curse him. There's a big movement on YouTube to curse the Holy Spirit, to commit blasphemy. People are going to places and filming themselves committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And he hears it. And there's people, listen, talking to him, saying this about him. And what's terribly sad about that is that that sick movement that's out there is such a demonic perversion, but far too many churches have never brought up the person of the Holy Spirit. Some pastors don't want to bring him up because they're afraid he might show up and take the church back or something. Well, we can't let the Holy Spirit in here. He'll do stuff he wants to do. Now, it's all his. And then the word move. In him we live and move. The word move is kino, and it means to be aroused or to be shaken out of sleep. To be shaken out of sleep. To be stirred up. The word can be translated to be, and this is cool, to be surprised by an announcement. You ever been surprised? We've all been surprised by an announcement. You ever have a fire alarm go off? You ever had your fire alarm go faulty in the middle of the night? The thing starts yelling at you and you're startled? Or there's an earthquake? It's always great because, you know, this is California. There's people from all over the world who live here now. And it's kind of fun, though, when an earthquake hits. I know it sounds cruel, but when an earthquake hits, you can always tell a native Californian. Just stand in the crowd. When things are moving, look around and you'll see the native Californians going, so what time are we going? What? Wait, you want to have spaghetti or do you want to have a hamburger? And then you'll see the people who have just arrived and they're like, we're gonna die. They're aroused, shaken awake, they're shaken alive. A friend of mine was honored to be one of the men who carried the football, what do you want to call it? He's a mill aide, they're called. goes everywhere in the world with the president. He carries the briefcase with the nuclear codes. And I got a chance. He got me into the president's helicopter, and that's pretty cool stuff. He was telling me that on 9/11, 2001, that the alarms sounded, as you can well imagine, where the military immediately went into attack and defense mode. And we were talking about that, and he said, you know, he goes, I remember when I was stationed over there just across the Potomac, he said, one time in the middle of the night, we had a drill and that alarm went off. And he said, that alarm could raise the dead. And I said, wow, that's amazing. He goes, yeah, but he said, that alarm went off one time and it killed a guy. The alarm startled him so much that the guy, the young man, had a heart attack. He must have had something wrong, but he died. You think about being stirred up. Now, the Holy Spirit will never come to you and shake you into being awake like that. Only the Holy Spirit can nudge you. That's all he has to do. The angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob and took out his hip. I bet you that was with his finger. Took out Jacob's hip in that wrestle. Listen, what God does is when God just speaks, when he just nudges, the Holy Spirit will wake you up. And think about that dead spirit that's inside of you, that's been dead from the moment you were given life. And every person since Adam and Eve came into this world with a dead spirit. You are a body, soul, and spirit, and the spirit inside of you was spiritually dead. Think of a person in a coma for decades. Now that's the body in a coma. Until you and I are born again and made alive by the Holy Spirit, awakened to the salvation of God, your spirit's in a coma. And that's why when you see friends, you start seeing friends get excited about God, and you don't get it. You think they're nuts. You don't know how to explain it. You say, oh man, they've gone all Jesus on me. They don't know what to say. I understand that. Your friends are trying to cope. Your friend is trying to cope with what's going on in your life, and they can't see it. There's a veil, or they're like in a cocoon. And they're going to be in that cocoon until God wakes them up. But here's the amazing thing about the gospel. God uses your friend to wake you up. God uses your parents or your kids to wake you up. Situations, events to wake you up.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Theology and Me, Part 5. Thanks for joining us today. Theology and Me, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, a lot of us like the feel of the open road, right? But all too often, if we see too far ahead of us, we'll stop and we'll turn back. Maybe that's why God only gives us a glimpse of what's ahead of us in our lives, just enough to keep us moving forward in faith. Now, the same is true about our quiet time with the Lord. Even just a little time spent with God and His Word really can give us the strength and motivation that we need to get through the day. But if devotions aren't really a part of your day and you want to know more about how to get started, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab labeled Devotions. Now, once you're there, you'll see how Pastor Jack takes a verse from the Bible and makes it personal, something that we can prayerfully read and apply to our daily lives. Pastor Jack's also made available some previous devotions, lots to choose from every day of the week. Pretty soon you'll be immersed in the Bible, writing your own personal account of what that verse means to you. Why don't you do that? It's all right there at the Devotions Resource tab at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.